A captain with a white whale carved into his very soul, a crew bound by gold and glory, an ocean that holds both wonder and annihilation. What drives someone to sacrifice everything, life, sanity, the safety of others, for revenge against a creature that likely acted on pure instinct? Herman Melville's 1851 masterpiece wasn't celebrated in his lifetime, yet today it stands as American literature's most profound meditation on obsession, humanity's place in nature, and the terrible cost of defying forces beyond our control. This isn't just a tale of hunting a whale, it's an exploration of what happens when we mistake our personal vendettas for cosmic justice. Call Me Ishmael. Our narrator seeks escape from melancholy by going to sea. In Nantucket, he befriends Queequeg, a tattooed harpooner whose appearance initially terrifies him. Yet this cannibal becomes his closest companion, proving genuine connection transcends surface differences. They board the Pequod, a vessel adorned with whale bones named after an extinct Native American tribe. The crew forms a remarkable cross-section of humanity. Starbuck, the devout first mate who sees divine order in everything. Stubb, who faces death with laughter. Flask, who views whales merely as targets. The harpooners, Queequeg from the Pacific, Tashtego, the Native American, Dagu, the towering African, represent continents united by common purpose. Each character embodies a different philosophy. Starbuck clings to duty and faith. Stubb declares that a laugh's the wisest, easiest answer to all that's queer. Flask sees only conquest, lacking reverence for their quarry. Together, they create a microcosm of human approaches to existence, confined to one wooden ship sailing toward fate. Moby Dick transcends mere animal to become mythological. This massive sperm whale bears a wrinkled white forehead, crooked jaw, and body marbled with pale patches. His distinction lies in apparent intelligence and calculated attacks that seem deliberately cruel. The whale's whiteness carries paradoxical meaning, symbolizing both purity and terror, the blank pallor of death. Like a Rorschach test, Moby Dick becomes whatever each observer projects. Universal evil for Ahab, a dumb brute for Starbuck, supernatural power for superstitious sailors, existence's ultimate mystery for Ishmael. Previous encounters build his legend. The Jeroboam's chief mate died pursuing him. The Samuel Enderby's captain lost an arm. Each tale accumulates into an aura of inevitability. Moby Dick becomes nature's indifferent cower personified. Despite extensive cetology chapters, the creature eludes complete understanding. The white whale swims through these pages as living proof that some mysteries resist human mastery. Captain Ahab emerges from below deck like a force of nature, a grand, ungodly, godlike man with a lightning bolt scar running down his face. Having lost his leg to Moby Dick, he now stands on one carved from whale jawbone, physically fused with the creature he hunts. When he nails a gold doublin to the mast as prize for whoever first spots the white whale, Starbuck objects to risking lives for personal revenge. Ahab's response reveals everything. All visible objects, man, are but as pasteboard masks. If man will strike, strike through the mask. This isn't simple vengeance. It's existential warfare. Ahab believes some malevolent force controls the universe, and the whale serves as its physical manifestation. His hunt becomes a quest to confront whatever power wounded him, declaring he'd strike the sun if it insulted me. What makes Ahab tragic is his self-awareness. In rare lucid moments, he recognizes his madness, yet cannot escape it. He asks Starbuck, "What nameless, inscrutable, unearthly thing is it that commands me?" His magnetic charisma binds the crew to his vision, transforming them into one man, not 30, drinking from a communal flagon to seal their unholy covenant. The whaling industry serves as both literal setting and metaphor for humanity's relationship with nature. Ishmael provides unflinching accounts of the hunt, the chase, the kill, the processing of blubber into oil. When Stubb kills his first whale, the ocean turns crimson while the dying creature enters its flurry, wallowing horribly before its heart bursts. Yet even in death, the whale maintains dignity, turning its head toward the sun in final moments. Economic imperatives drive everything. Starbuck reminds Ahab they sail for profit, not revenge. This commercial relationship, viewing magnificent creatures primarily as commodities to be rendered into lamp oil, creates tension with moments of genuine wonder and reverence. Ishmael's cetological chapters attempt to classify whales through scientific observation, yet ultimately acknowledge human knowledge's limitations. After extensive taxonomic efforts, he concludes, "This whole book is but a draft, nay, but the draft of a draft." Despite all efforts to master nature through technology and science, the sea remains fundamentally mysterious. The ocean's most dreaded creatures glide underwater, unapparent for the most part, and treacherously hidden beneath the loveliest tints of azure. Beauty conceals peril. Understanding remains perpetually incomplete. Moby Dick explores humanity's search for meaning in an indifferent universe. Biblical names, Ishmael, Ahab, signal religious themes from the start. Father Mapple's sermon on Jonah establishes the tension between divine will and human resistance. Different characters embody different spiritual approaches. Starbuck maintains conventional Christian faith. Queequeg practices his own worship with his wooden idol Yojo. Ahab develops a perverse theology of defiance, declaring himself the fate's lieutenant, God's unwilling agent rather than rebel. Philosophical richness emerges in quiet moments. Processing sperm from a whale's head, Ishmael experiences universal brotherhood. Let us squeeze ourselves universally into the very milk and sperm of kindness. This vision contrasts sharply with existential terror when Pip, abandoned in the ocean, encounters the unwarped primal world and goes mad from glimpsing ultimate reality. These oscillations between communion and cosmic horror reflect the novel's refusal of easy answers. Is there meaning in the universe, or do we impose it on indifferent nature? The white whale offers no response. He simply is, swimming through human projections without confirming or denying any interpretation. The three-day pursuit forms the novel's climax. Moby Dick destroys Ahab's boat on day one, wrecks two boats and claims Fedallah on day two, then sinks the Pequod on day three, dragging Ahab down as prophecy fulfills itself. Ishmael alone survives, floating on Queequeg's coffin, ordered during illness, repurposed as a sea chest, now saving his friend's life. Death becomes the instrument of life, completing the novel's exploration of how opposites contain each other. The Rachel rescues him while searching for her own lost crew, finding another orphan. As sole witness, Ishmael carries memory's burden. His narrative serves as both warning and memorial. Throughout, he demonstrated curiosity rather than certainty, wonder rather than rage. His friendship with Queequeg counterpoints Ahab's isolation. While the captain waged private war against nature, Ishmael engaged with the world's complexity. We face our own white whales, obsessions that consume us, vendettas that blind us. Ahab's tragedy reminds us that some battles cannot be won. The question isn't whether we'll encounter our Moby Dick, but whether we'll recognize when pursuit becomes self-destruction.